inspiration, and motivation is just a podcast away at hrnradio.com.
Hi, folks. This is Autism with Dr. Andy, and today's guest, Marcia Hines, is the author of I Know You're In There, Winning Our War Against Autism. And we have with Marcia Dr. Melinda Sharma. And Dr. Sharma, her book is called A Parent's Guide to the Common Immune System Issues in Autism Spectrum Disorder. And don't worry, folks, if you didn't get that right away, because I'll be saying that a couple of times during the show. So have a pencil or pen, and we'll make sure we touch on both of these books as we progress. So welcome, ladies, Marcia and Melinda. Glad to have you with us today.
Thanks, Dr. Andy.
Sure.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, my pleasure. This is wonderful. Marcia, I thought we'll start with you, and then we'll go back and forth with Melinda. And so first, I want to ask before we get to your books, tell our listening audience how you know Melinda.
Well, Melinda and I met because we both went to the same doctor who treated immune issues for kids with autism. And somehow we connected through that. I'm not exactly sure, but I know she is my counterpart. She knows all the ins and outs of the immune system. That's probably not my forte. I know what worked for Ryan, but she's the one with the answers for that part of helping kids with autism. And I have the other part. I know the behavioral and the educational component, and together we make up the whole package.
You sound like a great team. I mean, it's a natural fit.
It is a natural fit, and we both agree on that this is medical, and it's treatable, and it's a result of a problem in our children's immune system. The hard part is figuring out what issues with the immune system need to be fixed and how to fix them, because each kid is different.
Well, I'm fascinated because I'm going to have some questions about heavy metals later on, and I think, Melinda, you'll be able to help me with that. But let me start first with Marcia. So, Marcia, tell us about you. You know, our listeners, you're kind of, in the autism world, you've become pretty well known around the country, and especially for your work with Autism One and your book. So tell our listeners who you are and what brought you to doing your book.
Well, my biggest credential for writing this book is that I'm Ryan's mom, and we survived the autism diagnosis. I was told that Ryan would have to be in an institution, but the experts who told me that were wrong. Ryan's now an aerospace engineer doing all the things they said he could never do. And to be honest, you know, all profits from my book go to spread the word that autism is treatable, because I don't want anyone to go through what Melinda and I had to go through with our children. This is the hardest thing we've ever done.
Wow. Well, so when you say that when Ryan was young, and how young was he when they said that he'd have to be institutionalized?
He was diagnosed at age 4. It took a long time to get the diagnosis. I knew something was wrong, but of course, like the rest of the parents out there, I was in denial. And I wanted it to be anything else but autism. And I went through all the crazy things that we go through where we are so desperate. We'll try things like, excuse me, things that don't make any sense at all, you know, because there was nothing out there for us. And eventually, quite by accident, I was reading an article in the Autism Society magazine called The Advocate, and it was by another mom who talked about how her son was going to this doctor in California who, thought that antifungals and antivirals help children with autism recover. And that doctor doesn't really think it's autism at all, and it thinks it's just this immune issue, and that if you can fix the problems with the immune system, learning becomes possible. You know, fixing them medically only makes learning possible, and then you still have to use the other methods like ABA or floor time or REI or sunrise to catch them up on all they missed. And all those programs work if a child is able to learn.
Marcia, who was the doctor? I'm curious.
Well, I don't recommend him anymore. I can't.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, if you read my book, you'll see why. And it kind of upset me because after my book, his office was filled again because parents are so desperate, they will do anything to help their child, and I get that. But there's a lot of other choices might be a better fit. It was Dr. Michael Goldberg in Tarzana, California. And I always worry when I say that because, you know, I mean, he had good intentions and he wanted to help Ryan, and he did help Ryan. If I hadn't found him, Ryan wouldn't be okay today. But if I had listened to everything he said, Ryan wouldn't be okay today. I always tell my parents that they have to trust their gut because they know their kid best, and it's up to them to lead the recovery train. And it takes everybody. It takes, you know, doctors, teachers, behaviorists, and all of us, because we each have a piece of the puzzle, and everybody has to work as a team to make recovery happen.
Well, let's just take the good part from the from Dr. Goldman, because as you say, he made a difference, and so we're thankful for that.
Yes, we are, and we're appreciative and grateful and always will be.
Yeah, and so as this progresses with Ryan, you did some things that made a difference, and that was wondering if you knew about the work of Dr. John Hicks, because Dr. Hicks is very involved with the Autism One Group. I interviewed him on the show, and one of the, what's resonating with me is he does work with our kids on the spectrum, where they look at blood and feces, and I'm thinking of what the other one is, urine, and evaluates them, and then sends them to a lab after he extracts these materials to then define what's going on in the gastrointestinal area. And so I'm assuming that your Dr. Goldman did some similar things.
Actually, it was Dr. Goldberg, and he did. It was all very scientific, and there were a lot of tests that were taken.
Yeah.
And he only made one correction at a time because he wanted to see what was working. And, you know, for moms like me who want them fixed before lunch, that can be hard. You know, but he did it the right way. And, you know, Melinda and I are both big believers in the scientific model and doing things methodically and one thing at a time.
Yeah. And thank you for correcting me. That's Dr. Goldberg.
Sorry.
No, I made a mistake. So let me switch to Melinda for a bit. So, Melinda, I'm assuming what we're talking about fits nicely into your work. Is that correct?
Well, absolutely. Originally, Dr. Andy, I was a cancer immunologist, and I was trained, you know, my PhD is in basic cellular immunology, and I had a great career until I had a son that just slipped away from me about 11 to 12 months of age, and then I started to become very curious about the neuroimmune connection, and so I left my job in cancer research and then devoted myself full-time to my child. And only recently, since 2012, has started helping parents navigate this.
And I have to tell you, Melinda has the, she is definitely a warrior mother. She did much more than I ever did. I found the answers way before she did on the journey. And she did everything. She moved to another state, you know, so the climate, and there was no mold. She never gave up. And I am in awe of her because of that.
Wow.
Thank
Melinda,
you.
So first please tell me your child's name.
My oldest son is named Davin.
Spell that, please.
Davin. It's D-E-V-E-N. It looks like Devin, but it's pronounced Davin.
Davin, okay. So when Davin was 11 months of age, that's when you noticed this problem.
Yes, and I really cannot blame any one factor. I think it was sort of a perfect storm that happened. I was working, and it was very difficult for me to continue nursing him, so I weaned him. At the same time, he had the live oral polio vaccine, and, you know, we put him on a regular kid diet. It was a healthy diet, but nevertheless, it contained gluten and dairy, and we saw him gone within a month, just completely glazed over, not looking at us. His pictures of his first birthday party were like a child who was completely withdrawn from us.
Wow.
Scary.
So, yeah, Melinda, let me ask you another question. So what happens next at about age 11 months, and you see him slipping away, and you leave your job. And so what happened next? What did you do next?
Well, you know, I don't want to blame where I lived, but the answers were not forthcoming. Nobody was really willing to consider anything other than he's the first child. He is spoiled. You're cuddling him. You're, you know, all kinds of excuses around why he had lost all his words, and his pediatrician said he will talk when he wants to, which really didn't make sense to me, why a child would begin with a dozen words and then lose them. But I just kept getting a lot of excuses, and it took a very long time. I started blaming myself because I saw within my company other mothers really successful, and it was clear that I was not. You know, just motherhood didn't come as easy to me because it was hard to find people to take care of him. He didn't want to be around strangers, so all kinds of things. And it took until his third birthday, and my mother, unbeknownst to me, invited a speech therapist to our Christmas family function. And she took one look at him and said, he's autistic. And so that is how I found out.
That's horrible.
And then yeah. I went to the doctor, and he said, oh, I'm so sorry. And I asked all the early intervention people, like, why didn't you tell me? And they said, we are not allowed to say that. Your doctor is the one that has to make this diagnosis. Well, and so all the people around me knew.
Well, and I have to add to that story. I lived next door. At the time, we lived in Minnesota. And I lived next door to the person in charge of training all the speech therapists at the University of Minnesota. So she knew in 1 second that Ryan was autistic, and yet she never told me. And I think it's, you know, part of it is that back then they didn't think anything could be done to help these kids. I know that's why the doctor didn't tell me. You know, he thought he'd leave me in the dark for as long as possible because nothing can be done for kids with autism. And as mothers, we all have that guilt. You know, behind every great kid is a mom who's pretty sure she's screwing it all up, you know. We all have that guilt that we're not doing it right, and it's our fault. And our family and our and other people make us think that it's parenting. It's our parenting. That's what's wrong. But it's not. And I just want all moms and dads to realize, you know, autism is just autism, and it's not what you do parenting.
Yeah. Ladies, let me ask both of you, Marcia and Melinda, was there a regression immediately after a vaccine?
For me, yes, but I cannot blame the vaccine solely. I also have a background of autoimmunity that developed after I received the vaccine. I was voluntold to take the Hep B series as part of my graduate work so that I could work with human cells safely. And after the third boost, I started developing blood clots. And they became more and more serious, including, you know, DVTs and eventually pulmonary embolisms and later a stroke. So, you know, that was there before I even conceived. And so in the back of my mind was that there is an autoimmune problem. And so I cannot blame the vaccine that he had, but it did occur after he received the oral polio. And I think that the groundwork was already there for an immune problem based on my background and his exposure in the womb.
And I have to say, I think all of us are pro-vax until autism comes into our lives. And it makes us look at things a little differently. You know, I saw the movie Vaxxed, and I think it's something that everybody needs to see because it just points out that we think that our government agencies are protecting our children. And this movie is not anti-vax, but there's problems with the CDC and what happened there. And that movie needs to be seen by everybody.
Let's just spend a minute on that because I know our listening audience is probably saying, well, what problems? So you said there are problems with the CDC. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, in the movie, they talked about how the CDC, there was a whistleblower named Dr. Thompson who had several phone conversations with Brian Hooker. And those were all taped, and they're in the movie. And he talked about how the data was manipulated to get different results and how some things weren't reported correctly. And to me, you know, I wasn't, for Ryan, I don't think vaccines may have caused his autism, but they certainly contributed to the problems with his immune system. And I didn't even realize that when he was several days old, he got the Hep B shot before we left the hospital. And the only way I realized that was because someone who was interviewing me asked, you know, if vaccines were a part of it. And I said, I don't think so because, you know, I think he had it from the beginning is what I said. And I didn't realize he had gotten that shot. And then I went back and I did some research. And when I looked back in the journals that I kept, because I used to write down the funny stories that my kids did so that they could read them when they were older. And the day after he got his MMR, the day of his MMR, he got very, very ill. And I didn't even remember that. It wasn't until I went back, you know, to write this book that I realized that had even happened.
Well, you know, ladies, help me with this because you just brought up an interesting topic. The Hep B vaccine is given to infants before they leave the hospital. And enlighten me on this, if you would. My understanding is that that vaccine is for intravenous drug users and sexually transmitted diseases. Why did they give that to an infant?
Dr. Andy, the reason is because they gave it to at-risk populations first, and it did nothing to stop the problem. And so they decided to give it to everyone. And they thought that if they gave it at birth, they could raise up a population who would be immune to it. But the problem is that the immunity wanes by the time a child is old enough to be engaging in risky behaviors. Hopefully they never will, but if they do, the immunity has waned significantly. So it really was faulty logic.
And I don't know if it's true. Dr. Sharma has to answer this one because I'm not the medical, I don't get the medical stuff as well as she does. But it's my understanding that if a mother is infected and the child goes through the birth canal, they can become infected. Is that true?
That is true, but the rationale then would be if you know a mother has Hep B, vaccinate her baby, not everyone.
Well, and to me, it seems like the mothers should be tested to see if they're infected, but you know, supposedly they can't do that. They can't make that happen, you know.
I'm guessing it's because of cost, because it's easier to inject a vaccine into everyone than it is to test. You know, that's expensive. A vaccine is cheaper than a blood test. And, you know, I think that we need more screening to determine, first and foremost, what children are having an immune dysfunction, who should not be vaccinated. Because the package inserts are clear that if there is an immune system deficiency, they should not be. With at least the live vaccines, so we need more testing.
And also, too, the movie Vaxxed asks that all the vaccines be separated and be given individually. And they also asked that Dr. Thompson, the whistleblower, be brought before Congress to testify. And that hasn't happened yet, and it needs to happen.
Do you think maybe it'll ever happen?
I hope so, because I think that movie is having quite an impact, and I think the people who made it were very, very brave, because as soon as you mention anything about vaccines, you know, the room polarizes. And, you know, the things reported on Dr. Wakefield were not accurate. They said he was anti-vax and all this other stuff, and he's not. It's just not accurate reporting. And what really bothers me is that our media, without seeing this movie, already condemns it. And I just saw an interview on Fox News, which had Dr. Wakefield and Polly Toomey. And they are both so well-spoken. And I felt like, oh, my gosh, mainstream media is finally covering this story, and it should have been covered years ago. You know, how many kids have we lost as a result of this not being investigated? And, you know, the person who produced the movie, Del Bigtree, used to be a producer for the show The Doctors, and he left his lucrative job to do this. And when asked why he did that, he said, those in the know have a responsibility to act. And I just, these guys are amazing.
Well, this is fascinating, absolutely fascinating. And we're going to have to take a short commercial break. When we come back, folks, we will be with our guest today, Martha Hines, the author of I Know You're In There, and Winning the War Against Autism, that's her book, and with Melinda Sharma, her book is A Parent's Guide to the Common Immune System Issues in Autism Spectrum Disorder. We will be right back.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Hi, folks. This is Autism with Dr. Andy. Today's guest, Marcia Hines, the author of I Know You're In There, Winning Our War Against Autism, and Dr. Melinda Sharma, author of the book A Parent's Guide to the Common Immune System Issues in Autism Spectrum Disorder. Welcome back, ladies.
Thank you.
So I'd like to continue on, and as the story progresses, let me go to Melinda and say, okay, what did you do? Tell me about your history and the process and how you came to write your book about the immune system.
Well, as Marcia mentioned, we both saw Dr. Goldberg, and the outcome for my son with him was that, you know, he looks at a couple of different types of infections, strep, mycoplasma, and the herpes family viruses. So when I say herpes family for your listeners, that means HHV6, the herpes simplex virus 1 and 2, Epstein-Barr virus that causes mono, and cytomegalovirus. So his scope of practice is limited to those bacteria, the viruses, and yeast. And when his protocol, you know, it helped my son definitely to start treating these immune system dysfunctions. But we were left in a place where it wasn't enough. And at that point, you know, our dietary, our keeping of the diet was beginning to be questioned, and it was insinuated that maybe our parenting wasn't so great. So I'm like, okay, you know, if he has these infections, why wouldn't he have other infections? As long as that gate is open, which the immune system is not working, it could be anything. And so I began to search for what else could it be.
And also sometimes it's a combination of many things combined. You know, I think for some kids, the vaccines are just the final trigger of a compromised immune system. They don't cause autism. And, you know, for Ryan, we had to treat all the things that were wrong with his body one thing at a time. And sometimes it took more than one doctor to figure out how to treat it. Because, you know, doctors are so specialized right now.
Wow, you know, this sounds like the untying the Gordian knot here. It's just so unbelievably difficult.
It is difficult. It's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And don't ever ask me to do it again, okay?
The next thing that was important for my son, I requested that he be tested for Lyme. And I had myself tested simultaneously, and I came back, as did he, to be CDC positive for Lyme disease. And that's not an easy bar to meet because, you know, the testing is imperfect, but we both were positive. And so then treating him with multiple antibiotics simultaneously to target Lyme disease brought him to another level of healing. So, you know, it's a matter of just continuing the detective work until you identify and treat everything that is weighing down the immune system, including parasites.
Well, and it can be little things that have a big impact for Ryan. Ryan had strep constantly. And when he was in first grade, his ear, nose, and throat doctor said, you know, when he was little, we put in tubes so he didn't have to have antibiotics all the time because he had constant ear infections. And in first grade, we had his tonsils taken out. And when I went to Dr. Goldberg and I said, you know, the ENT wants to take out his tonsils, Dr. Goldberg was completely against that. And I had to make the decision to go against the doctor who had helped my son so much and do what I felt was right. And that was a big turning point for him. Because once the strep, he didn't have constant strep, his immune system improved, and he healed more, and there was more progress.
Wow. So, ladies, would I be correct in saying that you both feel that part, all of autism is related to a compromised immune system?
That's my belief.
Well, I'm a little bit more conservative than Marcia, Dr. Andy. I'm very careful to say subsets because I do believe that autism or autistic behaviors are sort of a symptom, almost like high blood pressure, right? So, for example, you could have a woman near the point of giving birth who has high blood pressure in pregnancy, and the treatment for that might be delivering the baby. But treatment for high blood pressure as a result of kidney disease might involve a transplant. So I like to say that there are subsets of children that have immune dysfunction due to a compromised immune system. There may be an additional subset that has toxicity at the root, for example, heavy metals or something else as a cause of a dysfunctional immune system. So I don't make sweeping generalizations because there's also genetic autism. And so I'm always careful to say.
And because she's a lot smarter than I am.
it's interesting that you complement each other in many ways, so that's a good thing. And I'm wondering, and let me throw this question out to both of you, gals. Is there a way to go through a questioning system that you could use with all kids on the spectrum starting with maybe vaccines and heavy metals and GMOs, and is there some way you could do it so that there was an organized kind of schema or schematic for approaching the problem? Does anything like that exist out there?
Not at this moment, Dr. Andy. I think that what I do in my practice is I start talking to people about any prior history. You know, does the mom have issues? Does dad have a history of eczema? Is there some sort of immunological root in the family? And often in my clientele there is. And then I begin to ask questions like, is your child always sick? Like Marcia's son Ryan seemed to constantly have something with the strep. And then at the other end is my son, who appeared so healthy. He was never sick, but that's because his body couldn't even mount a fever. So those two extremes are part of my screening. And then, you know, we have to start looking at blood. And let me back up just a little bit. A lot of parents notice the fever effect or the antibiotic effect. So if their child is able to mount a robust fever, they see them become very lucid and connected, and suddenly the lights are on in somebody's home, despite the fact that they're really sick. But they begin talking, and that's because a fever starts to burn off some of these hidden infections. Sometimes when kids get put on antibiotics for something else, their autism improves drastically, and then at the end of the course of antibiotics, all the stimming and behaviors return. So for me, those are the red flags for an immune dysfunction.
Well, just, you know, you talk about pieces of the puzzle. That certainly does fit, because every puzzle is different in regard to the kid who was on the spectrum. Every one of them seems so different.
Well, you know, for me, Ryan had something called a neurospec when he was four, which is kind of like a functional MRI, and it measures inflammation in the brain and blood flow to the different areas of the brain. And if your brain is inflamed, the blood can't get through to the areas it needs to go to, because blood flow means function. And when Ryan was about four, the doctor who read this scan said, autism, question mark, question mark, question mark. He had never met Ryan, yet he could tell that he was suffering from autism. And I found that sort of interesting. And I believe that in the future, we're going to treat learning disabilities and all kinds of psychiatric disabilities and problems medically, because all of the things that they have in common is that inflammation in the brain.
You know, as you're talking, Marcia, what's coming to my mind is a framework or a protocol put together by a variety of specialists, so that you start at point A and go to B, C, D, and so forth, so that it's kind of like a natural progression that we take a look at these medical issues first, which makes total sense, and then once we've eliminated that, then we can work on education. When we come back, I'm going to talk with you about a chat I had with Dr. Martha Herbert from Harvard about this.
We love her.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful person. So when we come back, we have to take a short commercial break, and we'll discuss more about the medical intervention and then the educational intervention. And, folks, I am with Marcia Hines, the author of I Know You're In There, Winning Our War Against Autism, and Dr. Melinda Sharma, whose new book, A Parent's Guide to the Common Immune System Issues in Autism Spectrum Disorders. And we'll be right back.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, folks. This is Autism with Dr. Andy. Today's guest, Marcia Hines, author of I Know You're In There, Winning Our War Against Autism, and Dr. Melinda Sharma, author of the new book, A Parent's Guide to the Common Immune System Issues in Autism Spectrum Disorders. Welcome back, ladies.
Thank you.
Sure. Where we left off, gals, I was talking about I had a meeting with Dr. Herbert. Actually, I was able to have lunch with her, which was really great. And we talked about the need for medical intervention first before we tried doing ABA and discrete trial and four times and you name it. And I said, does that make sense to you? And she said, absolutely. And I've talked about it many times since, but most kids on the spectrum, I would say the overwhelming majority, don't get the appropriate medical attention they need, and they just go right into the educational programming, which won't work as well. What do you folks think?
Well, we did it at the same time, and I think that that's really necessary. It's kind of interesting because my husband and I met at UCLA, And as undergraduates, it was kind of ironic that one time he didn't have enough classes and he was really upset. And I said, hey, I heard about this one class. It's really good. Let's go listen. And it happened to be Dr. Ivar Lovaas's class on behavior modification. And Ivar Lovaas is the father of ABA.
Sure.
And we went to that class, and he was so interesting that I changed my schedule and took it with him. Little did we know that 18 years later, when Ryan came along, that this was a really important turning point in our life, that we learned these techniques. But we didn't realize back then, you know, how to do it, or, you know, that all these things were dependent on each other. 'Cause, like, with Ryan, when he was little, he used to bite and squeeze his sister until she cried. And I remember her saying, Mom, can I hit him back? And I'd say, no, as soon as he's better, you can hit him. And it's still a big joke to them today. So whenever he makes her mad, she hauls off and slugs him, and they both laugh. But no matter how hard I tried or no matter what behavior techniques I used, I couldn't stop Ryan. I couldn't teach him not to bite or squeeze his sister. It was only after we did the medical intervention and that he was able to learn not to do that. So it's like the two of them go together. They have to be paired together because it takes both of them. And I think that's the mistake that a lot of parents do. They either do the behavioral or they do the medical, and they don't do both of them.
Well, that makes sense. Melinda, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm leaning more towards the medical first. The problem that's happening, as you know, that when you have a diagnosis, it opens a pot of money and access to these services. But when a child is physically ill, they are being put under pressure to perform, unless it's a program that is very friendly to the child, like Sunrise from the Autism Treatment Center of America. These kids are being asked to perform and possibly being penalized for not performing, and they're being thrown into preschools where there's more germs, more of an assault on an already weakened immune system. So I would err on the side of medical first with some support, loving, non-judgmental support for rehabilitation, but I think that the rehab is much more powerful when a child is healthy.
Well, and I think, too, is even if we could wave a magic wand and make a child completely healthy, they still wouldn't act typical. What many parents don't realize is that it takes 3 years for a child who's not ill to learn language, and sometimes they think that the medical stuff isn't working because they don't immediately start talking in full sentences.
Hmm. Really interesting. You know, I want to make sure I get to this because something has been on my mind since I heard what you do, Melinda. And what it is that not just for our kids on the spectrum, but for all of us, adults and also adults who haven't had children yet, what can we do to keep our immune system healthy when, you know, you've probably heard of chemtrails, and to my understanding, you know, chemtrails have heavy metals in them, and ostensibly they're saying that it's the result to keep the planet from warming, but I have lots of unanswered questions and concerns about chemtrails, but we know what goes up comes down, and so these heavy metals and are dropping to Earth and going into our food and water and so forth. What can we do to strengthen our immune system since we seem to be now surrounded by earth, water, and air that have things that are not good for us?
Well, that's a great question, Dr. Andy. I really think that it's all about genetics plus environment plus timing of the insult. And so I believe that what we're going to see is across the lifespan, we're going to see immune dysfunction from autism all the way from chronic fatigue to Alzheimer's. It's just a matter of the timing and the total body load. And so if you are going to try to protect yourself, you know, obviously you have the most control over your home environment. So the highest quality food that you can afford, ideally non-GMO, and, you know, protecting your environment in terms of household chemicals, you know, you can do a lot with a microfiber cloth and some water to clean. We don't need toxic chemicals in the home. So that's a great start. Eliminating Wi-Fi, even if it's just while you sleep, to unplug it or shut it off or put it on a timer. We're under assault, and you can only protect yourself so much. Your neighbors may have Wi-Fi. You can't do much about that, but you can care for yourself and your family to the best of your ability.
You know, I had a gentleman on a couple of weeks ago from a company called COSEZA, C-O-S-E-Z-A. All right. Either of you ladies familiar with that?
No.
No.
Well, what's fascinating to me about it is that they developed a product that seems to take heavy metals out of the body. And as it was explained to me on the show, what they said was that the heavy metals are positively charged and that their product, their Cosiva product, is negatively charged. Their scientist is a guy by the name of Tracy Holdforth, very impressive guy, and he said what happens is when you spray this into your mouth, it goes through your body, through your cells, and draws out the heavy metals because they're positive, and the Cosiva is negatively charged, goes to the kidneys, and then is eliminated through the urine. Now, that's about all I know about it, but I thought, gee, what a timely thing to have, because we are being bombarded by heavy metals and other things, and it seems to me like this should be all, stuff like this should be part of our household protection system to keep our immune system strong.
The only thing I can say, Dr. Andy, is that, you know, the heavy metals are positively charged, but so are the good things like zinc and magnesium. You know, they all have a positive charge, so I would love to know if it was selective for toxins, because if you deplete your body of good things, that's bad. It's bad for the immune system as well.
Yeah.
So, I do a lot of homeopathic type of detox to try to let the body heal itself.
Yeah. Dr. Sherman, that's a great question because I don't know the answer. I'm not knowledgeable enough to know that, you know, these other metals are positively charged as well. But I'm looking, and you're answering in part at least, that, you know, what do we do in our medicine cabinet to keep our immune system as healthy as possible and, you know, minimize GMOs and these other things. And I wish there was something out there that could also help to get these heavy metals out of our system because, as we know, aluminum seems to be related to Alzheimer's. Have you heard that before?
Yes, absolutely. But sometimes when we treat, for example, yeast, there's a big movement of aluminum out of the body. So sometimes these metals are bound up in a layer of biofilm, like a biological blanket with these infections happily sitting. So a lot of times I'll encourage parents not to do the chelation or try to remove metals first, but try to treat. Because we don't want to do anything that further weakens the child. Treat their infections first, then, if necessary, detoxify and help the body to get rid of.
And just so you know, I never did any kind of chelation with Ryan. I never went for the metals. We just treated his immune system, and once his immune system was more healed, the body could take care of the problem itself. One thing that was really important for him is a lot of people have the HHV6 gene mutation, the MTHFR gene mutation. I'm sorry. I always get things wrong. Melinda corrects me. And for Ryan, he tested positive to having that. And when he was very young, the first doctor we went to was Dr. Sidney Baker. And he gave Ryan something called leucovorin, which is a prescription. And when we started with Dr. Goldberg, he wanted us to stop every supplement and everything we were doing. And I secretly kept that one in place because I knew it did a lot. And so, you know, I think that there's a lot of things that affect. It's so complicated. It's not an easy answer.
Right. You know, when we come back, because we have to take a short commercial break, I'd like to talk with you ladies also about exercise, water, electromagnetic frequencies, and some other very interesting things that I think you'll know something about. Today's guest, Marcia Hines, is the author of I Know You're In There, Winning a War Against Autism, and also Dr. Melinda Sharma, her new book, A Parent's Guide to the Common Immune System Issues in Autism Spectrum Disorders. And I must also mention, I want to thank the Marquette Strength and Career Index for sponsoring our show today. And that's an index to help kids on the spectrum to understand and learn about their strengths and career possibilities. So thank you once again to the Marquette Strength and Career Index for sponsoring us. Welcome back, ladies.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit more during our commercial time. We had a bit of a chat. And talk to me, Melinda, about your concerns with diet and vitamins and supplements and those kinds of things.
Well, what I see from my practice, Dr. Andy, is that parents, it's difficult to get help once you have a diagnosis of autism. And so parents are trying to do this themselves, and they'll start with diet and supplements. And, you know, they may find a DAN type of doctor or a MAPS doctor that pushes a lot of supplements like DMG or TMG and B6 or Enhanza, and they watch their children not only not respond, but actually seem to get worse. And what I see happening to my clients is that they're told, you know, I'm really sorry, but some children will always be special. Or I'm sorry, your child just can't be helped. And then I start looking at things like the immune system, and I see that they have infections. They have, you know, low levels of immunoglobulins. They have low NK cells. So I'd like to make the point to parents that just because some vitamins don't help their child or it makes them worse, don't give up. You have to pursue the appropriate treatment, and it's not a one-size-fits-all. So please, keep your hope alive, and don't ever let a person in a white coat tell you that your child can't be helped. You just have to keep looking.
Moving back to Sharma, I want to let you know that I've read Marcia's work and her book, and I don't have yours, but I'm going to get it. Because A Parent's Guide to the Common Immune System Issues in Autism Spectrum Disorders should probably be in the library of every parent, of every child who's on the spectrum, because
it's a great book. But
yeah,
it just came out. That's probably why you, it just came out on the 12th of April. So
yeah,
it's not out there yet, but it will be.
I wrote it as a companion guide to Marcia's, because you read Marcia's story and it's so awe-inspiring. But then people are left with the question, well, how do I do this and how do I find a doctor who will do this? Because there are few and far between. And so my book is really to help parents understand and become conversant so that they can talk to their own local doctor and get the tests necessary accomplished.
And it doesn't necessarily take an autism doctor to do this. Somebody who knows about the immune system is what you need most.
Well, you need someone with an open mind.
Yes, that too.
Well, you know, I think as a companion book, Marcia's book, I know you're in there winning an award against autism. I mean, two books that should be on your shelf are, you know, these would be great ones, and these are things that parents should read and underline. And
both of our books can be gotten on Amazon, or iTunes, or Smashwords, or where else. There's all these Kobos and these funny different places.
Well, you know, I mean this, ladies, when I say I've done many interviews over the last few years, and I consider, you know, our interview today one of the most powerful, because we're talking about the real nitty-gritty of medicine and education, and so I really appreciate having you guys on. And I have some more questions, though, and it doesn't matter who answers it, but questions like other interviews have come up, and people have talked about, you know, what we can do to improve the immune system, because through exercise or through drinking proper water, the good water, clean water.
Well, and I'm really glad you mentioned that, because whenever Ryan would get a food by accident that he shouldn't have, you know, if we never did gluten-free. We only did dairy-free. And if by accident at school or somewhere else, I kept his diet pretty clean at home, but if there was a party at school, he felt so awful if he could not have what the other kids were having that it was worse for me to keep that food from him than to let him have it and deal with it afterwards. So as soon as he got something he wasn't supposed to have, the first thing I would do was take him swimming, increase the water, and increase the exercise. And I don't know the reason it worked. I just know that it did. And I know some parents are afraid to put their kids in pools with chlorine and chemicals and all this stuff. But, you know, for us, that didn't really matter. The still today, you know, he's a surfer, and going on the water is so important to him, and it has almost a healing effect. And I tell my moms, who I help, as soon as your kid gets something they're not supposed to have, increase the exercise and increase the water intake. Can you explain why that is, Melinda?
Yeah.
Well, exercise in general really boosts serotonin. So especially anything weight-bearing or, you know, running, jumping up and down, even if you have to take your child's hand and help them jump up and down so that they can get their knees kind of bending, and that's what boosts serotonin. So that is huge. And then water just helps your system detoxify, you know. Most of us probably exist in a dehydrated state. The urine should be clear. And if it's not, you're dehydrated. So it helps detoxify to just keep pushing and pushing the water. Another great thing to detoxify is lymphatic drainage. So, you know, from dry skin brushing, or they have little handheld massagers that a child or a teenager could do to try to drain the lymph nodes a little bit. Get stuff moving, because these toxins are just sitting there.
Right. You know, Dr. Sharma, I'm glad you mentioned that, because where I was going with this is most folks know that we have more lymph than blood. Am I correct in that regard?
I don't know that I know the exact amount.
I know I'm close enough. Anyway,
okay.
What happens is that because the heart is our pump for the blood, the lymph system only gets moving when we move. Exercise then also is that our body's cleaning itself through the lymph system when we move. So,
very true.
You know, this was just a wonderful, chock full of good information, ladies, and really appreciate having you on today. I want to give one more commercial to your book, so in case people didn't get it, they have one more chance to do so. Folks, our guests today were Marcia Hinds, that's H-I-N-D-S, her book about her experiences with her son Ryan and his wonderful healing. Her name of it is I Know You're In There, Winning Our War Against Autism. And we have Dr. Melinda Sharma, who worked with her son, Davin, and she has a wonderful book called, a new one, it's called A Parent's Guide to the Common Immune System Issues in Autism Spectrum Disorders.
And Dr. Andy, I just want to tell your readers that, you know, when you go on Amazon, there's a little thing above the book cover that says Look Inside. And if you go on the listing for both of our books, you can read the first few chapters and see if it's something that's going to help you. And I also have a website that has a lot of information to help parents, and it's called www.autismandtreatment.com. And Melinda also has one that she probably should let you know about.
AutismSpectrumGPS.com. Thank you.
Want to give me that again, please, Melinda?
It's AutismSpectrumGPS.com.
Okay. Well, thank you, ladies. Wonderful show. Hope to have you on again. And thanks for this great information. You're helping many, many people. So
thank you for all you do, Dr. Andy.